Hi, I'm Mark Bubb.
And I'm Jair Briggs Davis.
And we're from Mark and Jair Explain Sports.
This is a tripod production.
The following is a tripod production. Do not attempt to adjust your dial. Mark Bubb and Jair Briggs Davis, two friends growing up in the Big Apple, two friends who became sports writers at the top of their craft. Mark, the assistant sports editor at Drexel University's The Triangle. Jair, the color commentator and reporter at Curry College. On their own, they give their own unique insights. However, together, Mark and Jair explain sports.
Hey Jair, how's it been going for you, man?
It's been going all right. Just still waiting to hear if Major League Baseball is going to come back, but I've been checking out the Korean Baseball League lately.
Oh God, that doesn't sound very fun, but you know, we don't have any other options. So, you know what? It might be entertaining for now. But man, well, I think we're already in episode 5. Like, this is going by really fast and we still have no sports.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Honestly, I was just checking out the Korean Baseball League just to see, like, you know, any potential talent for Major League Baseball. I'm sure that a lot of Major League Baseball scouts are watching it just to, you know, scout talent.
Yeah, I saw the first game that ESPN aired. There was a bat flip. I don't know if you saw that highlight.
Yeah, I did see it.
Have you been watching these Korean Baseball League games online? I mean, live?
Yes, I did. I was up earlier at about 2 a.m. just watching it, just, you know, looking at, you know, potential, you know, MLB players in the future. And I was also looking at former Major League Baseball players that could potentially get back to Major League Baseball one day.
And what did you think? What did you think of it watching it? Was it interesting to you or?
It was interesting to me. You know, you can find a lot of people overseas in other countries, you know, be successful. I mean, you have people like, I mean, who came from Asia, like, look at Hideki Matsui and look at what he did.
Ichiro.
For the New York Yankees.
Ichiro came from Japan, right?
And Ichiro came over from Japan. So you have some players overseas that could play a potential role.
And I saw that there are former players, like guys on the Phillies, like Aaron Altair, who are playing, and they're getting as much as like $1 million. So as much as a risk it is to be there playing right now with the coronavirus, they're cashing in when they can't play for the MLB.
Well, actually, you're right about that when you think about it. Also, a player like Aaron Altair, I mean, like, there's certain things in certain Major League Baseball contracts. I think Aaron Altair probably could have made, like, maybe, well, if he's getting like $1 million right now from Korea, he probably could have gotten like maybe $875,000 or $850,000 from Major League Baseball, potentially, if he signed like a small contract.
It's just not as much of a lock to make the team. That's the problem.
Yes.
Well, so Taylor, what do you think about, there was a report from a former Major League player, Plouffe, right?
Trevor Plouffe,
who said that the MLB could possibly, he heard rumors that it's coming in June and they would be spring training games at teams' own ballparks, and then the regular season would start July without fans, but at their regular ballparks. I don't know how that's going to work, although I see why they have the 10-team division where the Phillies, Red Sox, Mets, Yankees, they would all be in that same division because you can drive to those places. You don't have to go on the plane. So that makes sense.
Well, would they be placed in Florida or Texas or Arizona?
No, like the report from Trevor Plouffe was that they're going to play at their own ballparks.
Oh, well, I mean,
why that division makes sense, because you can drive to all those places.
Well, that does make sense. It does make sense. It really does make sense. I think that, well, there's so many different reports, and I mean, I've heard certain places that, you know, what Trevor Plouffe said was wrong. And I've seen people say that they don't think baseball is going to come back this year. And I have some others that do say that baseball will come back this year. I mean, you know, it's a lot of things are still on pause, but I know that they're definitely having meetings. But I think that a plan like it's like 10 team leagues would be really good. I think that they could showcase things like the designated hitters and like, you know, being like, you know, 24/7. I know that's been, that it's been a discussion in regular major league play that they just have DHs. But I mean, I hope that it comes into fruition. I think that it would be good just to try to have some normalcy.
Yeah, well, if it comes back at all, this goes for all sports. I don't think you're going to see fans in stadiums for a long time. Although the only sport that I think has a chance is the NFL, because maybe they'll say, oh, we'll delay opening the season until October, and then maybe we can have fans coming. I don't know how that's going to work because they're so close together. Maybe they'll require everyone to wear masks, or they'll just act like the MLB is, which is without fans.
Well, I think that, well, I mean, the NFL season would start in September, between August, September, and training camp and everything like that, August. But the NFL, I think that they're in definitely a better position, because that's gonna take place later in the year. They're definitely gonna have troubles, but it's gonna take place way more later in the year. I'm all for sports coming back, just as long as there are no fans in the stands. Whatever makes it easier for athletes to play the games, I'm all for, whether it's like barely any fans or no fans at all.
I'm curious.
Just as long as it can be televised, I'm happy.
Baseball is going to be the most interesting if it comes back, because think about the way the game is played. Guys are constantly high-fiving, constantly doing different handshakes. They're spitting gum all the time. They're doing seeds. Like, how's that going to factor in? Because, like, that's not exactly social distancing if you're spitting in front of someone. So they're just going to take – they're so used to doing that. I feel like it's going to be hard for them to not do that, because most likely – it's not appropriate to be doing that during this time, but it's part of the sport. So I feel like that's going to be a factor. Interesting to see how that plays out if the MLB season comes back.
Well, I think that in a case like, well, we brought up something that I overheard last night or all this morning on that ESPN was saying when they were talking about the Korean Baseball League, actually. They were saying that, you know, players can't spit on the ground or anything like that in Korean baseball. And they have to get their temperatures checked twice a day also. I think that those rules, Major League Baseball has like a good plan set in stone, I think that they should follow what the Korean Baseball League was doing and, you know, like go by the same methods of, you know, not spitting on the ground, or even if you don't have to do seeds or chew gum. Potentially, I mean, whatever it takes.
So,
and as long as you're keeping the safety of the players.
So you watched the one of the Korean baseball games. Were the players wearing masks or no?
I believe it was during the opening ceremony. During the introductions for players, they were wearing masks. But when they were on the field playing, they were not wearing masks.
Okay. I mean, it's easier for, like, guys in the outfield, because even when it's cold outside, they'll wear masks. Cold. I feel like you'll see a lot of guys doing that even when it's not cold outside, just to protect themselves. But it's going to be hard for pitchers to wear gloves. Obviously, batters, you're pretty covered with gloves and you can wear a mask. And catchers are probably the most covered with the mask. They have to wear a mask. And so it's going to be interesting how it plays out. It's definitely not going to be the same what we're used to seeing baseball, but I'd rather have that than no baseball at all.
I'm with you on that one.
So Moving on, I'd like to hear your thoughts, Jair, about what you thought of this past weekend's episode of The Last Dance. Episode 5 and 6.
Well, Mark, I feel like this is, like, what was going on in this past weekend's episode of The Last Dance. I think that this is what a lot of fans were anticipating to put their hearts into, or, like, what they really wanted to see, like, what was going on behind the scenes. Things like Michael Jordan's gambling.
Yeah, I know my dad said if they didn't talk about his gambling problem, then he would have thought that the whole documentary is a fraud, because he thinks that that's a big reason why Jordan, like, retired for a little bit.
It was believed, like, you know, his gambling is what it was, like, and, like, his whole entire feeling of not wanting to play basketball because he lost his sense of motivation was, like, a cover-up for him with a suspension. And I've even heard things like the murder of his father came because of his gambling situation. I've heard that, like, multiple times for throughout the years. But, I mean, it was interesting to see the way of how Jordan looks at it, because he says that he doesn't have a gambling problem. He said that he has a competitive problem.
Which I believe that.
Go ahead.
I showed the scene with the security guard playing, I think it was, they were playing.
Weren't they playing craps?
They were playing craps. Like, he was doing that in the hallway at the stadium. Like, that just shows how competitive he is. Like, who plays craps all of a sudden with your security team? I just think it's funny. But yeah, I thought this episode, the two episodes were really cool. I love how they introduced the episode 5 talking about Kobe. I thought they could have talked about him a little bit more, but the way they did it was really nice. I also really liked watching, like, how they showed a lot of clips of the playoff series, like, against the Knicks. That was cool. The Knicks didn't have success against them. And I didn't realize that Charles Barkley took that Suns team to the finals and that they went to 6 games. That was cool watching that. But going back to the Knicks, Jair, what did you think of seeing the Knicks when they were relevant for once?
Well, Mark, I have unpopular opinions about certain things, but everyone talks. Let me just say one thing. The 93-94 Knicks that went to the NBA Finals, I feel like in that decade, like throughout that whole entire decade, was not the best Knicks team that they had. Although a lot of fans say, oh man, the 93-94 team with, when we had Starks and Ewing and we beat Reggie in the Eastern Conference Finals, I don't think that was the best team. I think that the best teams that the Knicks had were the 91 and 92 team that took the Jordan Bulls to 7 games in that series, when they had Xavier McDaniel and Gerald Wilkins and John Starks coming off the bench. And Mark Jackson starting at point guard. I feel like that team along – and the 96-97 team when they – brought in Larry Johnson and they had Allen Houston and Starks was coming off the bench on that one. When they blew that 3-1 series lead against the Miami Heat, those I feel like were the two best Knicks teams. And I think that those teams were the most capable teams of beating Michael Jordan and the Bulls in a 7-game series, because I feel like they had better depth, more than the 93-94 team.
So they played Allen Houston with Patrick Ewing, right?
Repeat that again?
Allen Houston was with Patrick Ewing, right, for a little bit?
Yeah, Allen Houston was with Patrick Ewing between, I think, I forgot whether Houston came in for the 95-96 season or if he came in for the 96-97 season.
Yeah, my dad was a season ticket holder back then for the Knicks, and he talks about how Patrick Ewing, like, barely had any help, like, ever. That was the main problem. Like, they were a tough team, but they just didn't have, like, a lot of skill besides him.
Well, I mean, you know, that's why, I mean, that's why I say the 91-92 team was better than the 93-94 team, for example. I feel with that 91-92 team with bad, with, like, you know, you had mean guys. I mean, like, not mean, like, literally, but I mean, like, he had tough guys. Like Oakley was there throughout all those years. But when you have Xavier McDaniel on your team and John Starks with
– overrated. I'm sorry.
You think John Starks is overrated?
I don't think he was very good. He had that nice dunk, but, like, he was so
I mean, he was a one-time All-Star. I mean, he was good.
So many, in so many big games, the missed throws, the bad shooting. He let them down a little bit.
Mark, he was this very streaky player. I mean, for example, like J.R. Smith, that's why I'm saying 91 and 92 and 96 and 97. I like those teams better for the fact that
I just don't think any of those teams can beat the Bulls anyway, either way.
Whoa. Matchup to matchup, I mean, I think that, well, look, I'll take Scotty over Larry Johnson. I'll take Scotty over
any of besides pursuing anybody on the Knicks.
I mean, I'd probably rather play Scotty Pippen at center than have Patrick Ewing. I think Patrick Ewing is probably one of the most overrated centers of all time, to be honest.
Whoa. Knicks, yo, that doesn't sound like a loyal Knicks fan right here.
I mean, look, I'm just going to be honest with you. I mean, I think Hakeem Olajuwon is better than Patrick Ewing.
Well, yeah, I agree with that one. But Hakeem Olajuwon is one of the best players of all time. Patrick Ewing is a Hall of Famer, though.
Patrick Ewing is a Hall of Famer. He deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. Don't get me wrong. But, I mean, maybe I'm beating up too hard on him for, like, the amount of playoff success that the Knicks have had. But, as you did say, the Knicks didn't really build that well around him.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think they definitely could have improved what they were doing. But
go ahead.
Jay, I want to know about – so what do you think about – so do you think that Michael Jordan deserved backlash for gambling the night before the playoff game against the Knicks?
Well, to be honest, like, I think that he did deserve some heat for it. It's not a good look. I mean, like, from what Michael said, he was saying, like, I think it was, like, after the first game when Michael's father said, you know, like blow off some steam and, you know, just come out to Atlantic City with us, and then they lost game two at the Garden. I mean, I understand what Michael's father said, was saying. And I mean, you know, to an extent that he does have a point. But at the same time, like, you know, I understand that it's not really the best of looks when you're going out gambling the night before a playoff game. I mean,
it's not like he committed a crime, though. He's just it would only be bad if he was gambling on his own game. He wasn't.
Well, I understand that perspective. I mean,
his father, too, like.
I mean,
a bunch of friends just like getting drunk and gambling. That wasn't the case though.
No, I get what you mean. I don't think that he deserves to really. I mean, look, it's a bad look. It's a bad look. It's not the worst thing ever. He wasn't. I mean, he made it to the game. It's not the worst.
He won the series for them though. So like.
Well, I mean, look, he did have vengeance though. So I'll give him some credit.
But speaking of gambling, gambling has become very prominent as of recently, and it always been in basketball and in sports in general. And I know in a few weeks we're going to have the COO on from U.S. Integrity, which they deal with gambling and how to do it the right way, and they teach people ways how to not cheat, and they monitor referees. So we're going to have the COO, Scott Sadin, on, and he's going to explain it to us. So that should be really interesting.
I can't wait to hear it, Mark. I can't.
And going to the NBA, what do you think about them opening certain facilities to allow players to practice if that city allows?
I like –
like, obviously, New York is not going to happen for a while, but places like Florida, or like the Heat, the Magic, I'm sure their facilities are open now.
I think that it's good, Mark. I think that we need to at least give an effort to take steps towards places and having things come back to normal in the world of sports.
Yeah, we're desperate for something. I just hope that the summer isn't just watching Korean baseball. That's my hope.
I mean, I hope it isn't either, Mark. Major League Baseball brings a lot of opportunities to a lot of people throughout, like, you know.
Yeah, that's the thing that people have to think about too. Like, a lot of people are out of jobs right now, so this is horrible. Yeah, a lot of people are dying, but if they put together the right protocol during to set up the games to make sure the players aren't spreading disease and that the people working the games don't have it, it opens up a lot of jobs for people who are in need. Like, a lot of people aren't working right now, and it's not good, but people need to survive financially. And
absolutely. I mean, look, if they put a plan in place and if, like, it can't work because it's just, like, too bad, like, I understand. But at the same – but, you know, I just want to see just, like, some effort towards, like, you know, a way of how we could try to make this work.
Definitely. What I will say, what was announced, if any of you are interested in watching any type of sporting event besides the Korean Baseball League, this Friday on UFC 249 is going to be – set between Tony Ferguson and Justin Gaethje for the interim lightweight title. But you have to pay for that, so I know I'm not going to be watching that. But what about you, Jair? Are you going to pay $50, whatever it is, to watch some pay-per-view fight with guys you don't even know?
No, Mark. No, I'm not. I'm not the most strongest person when it comes to when it comes to UFC.
Yeah, if it's not McGregor, I'm not very interested.
Well, Mark, is it going to be it's going to have fans? It's not going to have fans here, right?
No. Okay. Or I'm sure a lot of people are going to watch because there's nothing else to watch. Spend money, and people are being very careful with their money right now because a lot of people aren't working. So you have to take that into account if you're the UFC.
Yes, and I saw that the UFC is going to, you know, they're going to – I mean, like, everyone obviously is going to have to be tested for COVID-19. All the way from – I mean, like, this is ranging from, you know, fighters to employees to, you know, ring cleaners for every single thing. But, you know, I feel like it's a good step into the direction of having some normalcy.
Definitely. But until then – there's not much sports to look forward to, but hopefully next week we'll have better news. Maybe the MLB will announce something, the NBA will have a plan in place. But until then, we're just going to have to continue to watch old classic games and wait for The Last Dance to come out on Sunday. But Jair, this has been another good episode with you. I can't wait for the more episodes that we talk about to come.
Same here, Mark. Same here. I want to see the different guests that we can bring on. I'm going to try to see if I can bring my mother on, and she can voice her opinion.
Absolutely. And before we leave, I want to give a quick shout out to Tay on the Track.
Major shout out to Tay on the Track.
So I'm Mark Budd.
I'm Jair Brooks Davis.
And we're from Mark and Jair Explain Sports. We look forward to talking with you guys next week.
Thank you, sir.
To listen to more Tripod Productions, go to thetriangle.org/podcasts.